Well, that'll do something deep down inside for you. When you realize the truth of that song, there's a lot of truth in that song.
Amen.
And I think all of us that are saved could testify that we failed the Lord. Now, we don't do it in a way that we're proud of it. I'm very sorry that I failed the Lord, but I can stand with confidence, and I can tell you without any doubt whatsoever, I mean with absolute certainty, the Lord has never failed
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
Never, ever, ever.
Amen.
Never failed me.
Amen.
And not going to. It is impossible
Amen.
For God to fail
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
Impossible. Because He's always only good.
Amen.
And He always does only right.
Amen.
That's just who God is. And I'm glad that I realize that. And I hope that you do. And that you're experiencing that. Well, I'm going to share a message with you that God's laid on my heart. This message has a very special place in my heart. This account in the scripture. It was a little 5 or 6 year old girl that drew this picture that I'm going to talk with you about. Back in 1980, this little girl who was not invited to my home, her dad was, but she wasn't. And I didn't want her in my home. And it wasn't because I don't love children. It was actually because I cared about children. And because of the purpose of her dad being there, I didn't think it was appropriate to have a little girl, but I sure am glad she came. I sure am glad she came. She drew me this picture. In her little mind, she put it on a piece of paper. 3 crosses, drew some stick men. And she came to me and said, "That one in the middle died for you." And I'm glad she told me that. I couldn't sleep Friday night. Couldn't get it off my mind all day Saturday. Couldn't sleep Saturday night. Couldn't get it out of my mind on Sunday until I had called someone and told them, I need to talk to somebody. There's something going on in my life. I didn't know what was going on. I do now. Well, I knew what was going on now. It's called Holy Ghost conviction.
Amen.
You say, what is that? Well, if you're saved, you may not understand it by that term, but if you're saved, you've experienced it. Because you'll never get saved except the Spirit of God draw you. And the Spirit of God drew me, and I got saved that Sunday night. So this account in the Scripture has a special place in my heart. I want to share some truth that I believe would be a blessing to you if we'll just follow the account of Scripture. You know the situation. This is an intense situation. I was sitting at my desk yesterday after I'd gotten back. We had some things to do, and then when we got back yesterday evening, I was just kind of meditating on what God had been speaking to my heart through the week, and it was in these scripture. And I began to think of the intensity that's taking place here. I mean, this is intense. There are people crying out, you know, crucify him, crucify him. I mean, there was anger and hatred and malice in the people's heart. The chief priests and the leaders, the religious leaders, they hated Jesus, and they just couldn't wait until they got rid of him. They thought that they were going to get rid of him. Kind of like our world today, they think they can get rid of him. But I got to tell you something. One day, those that think that they're going to get rid of him are going to bow and confess him as Lord. Listen, it's just the reality. But they were saying, you know, crucify. I want you to look back in chapter 27. We're going to turn to Luke eventually. But I want you to look at chapter 27. Look at verse number 15. This is just something to me. So there's this man, Barabbas. And you say, well, I know who Barabbas is. And I get that. You probably do. Just a casual reader of the Bible knows who Barabbas is, okay? Barabbas was this violent criminal. Now, the Bible says malefactors, okay? Now, that word just doesn't mean that they were robbers. It means that they were blatant, violent robbers. Actually, if you'll read the scripture, you'll see where they were wanting to cause an insurrection. They were against the political system. And they said, we do not want to bow down to the Roman government. And so they were just very flagrant and very blatant with their malice. And so the scripture says this, that this Barabbas, look in chapter 15, or chapter 27, verse 15. Now at the feast, the governor was wont or accustomed to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. Very similar to our president's pardon, you know, when he's leaving office. It's very similar to that, you know, that there was a certain time where a leader could say, you know what, I'm going to set someone free. Well, that's what's happening here. And Pilate knew. He knew Jesus was innocent. He knew it. But he didn't have what it took to withstand the people. And so he said, well, maybe I can slip Jesus in with Barabbas, and surely they'll choose Jesus over Barabbas, you know. And so the scripture says in verse number 16, and they had then, look at this, a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Not just a prisoner. People knew this guy. Okay, this guy, had it been in our day, he'd have been on every one ad page, every one ad. He would have been in every post office. This guy was a notable prisoner. When you said the name Jesus, people knew who you were talking about in this day. And when you said the name Barabbas, people knew who you were talking about in this day. So it's not like it's just some guy that nobody knew what was going on. This guy had a reputation. He was a notable prisoner, all right? And so Pilate said, well, I'm just going to put him up there. Surely they'll choose Jesus over Barabbas. But you know, there's some sinister voices going on. There was some intensity here is what I'm trying to show you. And so if you'll look at verse 17, the scripture says, therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas? He didn't have to go in any detail. Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? Verse number 18, and for he knew that for the envy they had delivered him. And when you get on down, you'll find in verse number 21, the governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. We don't want this Jesus character. We don't want this man. We don't want him. Give us Barabbas. Now, what's that have to do with anything about these two thieves? Well, when you read some history from Josephus and you read some others, you'll find that there is a very distinct probability that they were on kind of the same team. You know, that they were working in the same territory. And so Barabbas was released. Well, here's these two guys. They didn't get that pleasure. And so we began to pick up the story. And before we turn over to Luke chapter 23, I want you to look at something in verse 44. The thieves, verse 44, plural, the thieves which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. So as you turn to Luke 23 and we get to the meat of the message, Luke 23 will begin right around verse number 33. So let me set the scene for you, and I hope you'll follow along with this. So, you know the story. Jesus has been alive. He's been teaching. He's been preaching. He's been healing. He's gathered a following. The religious leaders don't like him. He is really putting them in a fix. All right? He scathed them, not the publicans and sinners, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, the religious people. He scathed them. He confronted them. I mean, he hit it head on. And they said, we got to get rid of this character. And so the scripture says that when they went and they arrested him in the garden, they brought him and they falsely tried him. And you can read, we looked in detail at that maybe a couple of few months back. And so there was like a kangaroo court and a mock trial. It was just, listen, no justice whatsoever. Jesus was crucified. There was one thief on the right-hand side and one thief on the left-hand side. And the scripture says that they were listening to the people, all the events that were going on. All right? Did you follow Pastor BJ as he read? They were saying, you know what? If you were the Son of God, you could do something about this. You talk about tearing down the temple and building it in 3 days. You can't even deliver yourself. And you're talking about delivering us? What can you do for me? You can't even help yourself. How are you going to help me? Right? And then the Bible says that the thieves that were crucified beside him in Matthew 27:44, they were casting the same in his teeth. Now, I want to say something right here. I'm not going to say a whole lot about this, but I want you to listen very carefully. You be careful who you listen to. You be careful who you take after. Not everything that's said needs to be repeated. Amen. And so you run through a filter what goes into your mind and what comes out of your mouth. Because God records everything that you say. See, God recorded this conversation. God recorded that they were saying, if thou be the Son of God, get us out of here. Right? God recorded that. One day that thief that died without Jesus, and we're going to see this in just a moment, he's going to stand before the God of heaven, and he's going to have that replayed. He may have it replayed in hell over and over and over and over right now. Should have not listened to that religious crowd. You listening? Should have not listened. That was bad advice. Bad advice. I should have not have went that way. I should have went with something different. I should have watched him. I should have listened to him. And something happened on the cross for the one on one side that didn't happen for the one on the other. There was one of those thieves that just continued to cast it, but then something began to change, and that's what I want to talk to you about. I sure am glad God changed my mind. I sure am glad that God is still changing people's minds. I sure am glad that God is still shedding light on sin. I sure am glad that God is still showing man that he needs redemption. I sure am glad that the Spirit of God is working in people's hearts and letting them know that without Christ you'll die in your sin and you'll go to a devil's hell. And I sure am glad that the Spirit of God is still showing man if you will trust Jesus Christ and you will accept the grace of God, you do not have to die in your sin. I'm thankful to God that God showed me that one day. Oh, I'm so thankful to God for his grace. And I see the grace of God break out on this one thief. If you'll follow with me now. Look, if you would, in Luke 23, are you there? Look at verse 35. The Bible says, the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him. Talking about Jesus. They derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he be Christ, the chosen of God. A lot of people always want to doubt. They think they're smart. Doubting God, that's not smart. That's anything but smart. That's devious, if not devilish. The scripture says in verse number 36, and the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him to offer him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And then in verse number 39, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Get us out of this fix. That man didn't want to be saved. He didn't want forgiveness of his sin. He wanted to get out of the punishment of his wrongdoing. There's a big difference. But I want you to notice what he said. It wasn't just the voice of the religious people. It wasn't just the voice of the soldiers. There's a stronger voice behind that voice. Now hear me carefully. In your mind, you who know a little something about the scripture, I want you to go back to Matthew 4 and Luke 4 with me. When Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness and the devil tempted him there, time and again he said, if thou be the Son of God, cause this stone to be turned into bread. If thou be the Son of God this, and if thou be the Son of God that. Oh, there was a much more sinister voice of darkness at the cross this day. It was more than those religious leaders. Now hear me now. There was something behind the voices of those religious leaders and those soldiers that were mocking Jesus. There was a voice right out of the pit of hell there. And I got to tell you, those voices are growing increasingly in our country today. And they're saying, well, if God is this, and if God is that, and if your God is this, and if your Bible is so and so, and if your Jesus can do this, I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is everything the Bible says he is, amen. And then some. And then some. So don't you listen to those voices. Don't you listen to those voices. It got this man in a heap of trouble. So here he is in verse number 39 saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself. He wasn't a bit more concerned about Jesus saving himself than anyone else. His real motive is found in the next two words, and us. Almost like a jailbreak. Greek scholar A.T. Robertson made this statement. He said, this man is no more concerned about his sin before God than anything. He's just concerned about getting relief from his suffering. He wasn't concerned about his sin. He wanted relief from his suffering. If you're going to have a real encounter with God that brings forgiveness of sin, it's going to have to go deeper than getting out of the trouble that you've gotten yourself in. Amen? You're going to have a deep sorrow for your sin. And that's what began to happen to this other thief. Would you follow it with me? One of the most beautiful conversions in all the Bible. Right here. It is beautiful. So the Bible says in the book of Matthew that both of these thieves were casting the same in his teeth, mocking Jesus. Both of them. And then something happened. I can't stand before you. Listen, I have searched. I have read. I have researched. I have prayed. I don't know what changed this old thief's heart. I know who did it. I just don't know the sequence of things that took place. Maybe. And I'm just saying maybe now. I want to make this very clear. I'm just saying maybe. Maybe he had a parent, a mother, a father who took him to hear Jesus when Jesus was getting started in ministry. I don't know. Maybe he was standing in the crowd when Jesus was teaching and he heard Jesus before. I don't know. But something took place. I know this. No man on his own will ever come to the conclusion that this man came to. This man came to some deep biblical conclusions about the person of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, you'll never get to heaven without Jesus?
Amen.
You'll never get to, listen, until you change your mind about some things, you'll never get to heaven. Now, no one goes to heaven by being born and thinking the same way through to the end and then get to heaven. You'll never get to heaven until God changes your mind. And you'll never change your mind until God changes it for you. Amen. What are you talking about, preacher? Watch it here, would you? Look, if you would, in verse number 40. But the other answering rebuked him. See, something's happening. At one time, he was railing with him. Isn't that what the Bible says? But now, he rebukes him. And he said this, "Dost thou not fear God?" What a statement. Here's a man that has been arrested. Here's a man that is being tried and executed. Because he lived his life the way he wanted to, and he went against the law of God and the law of the land. And now something's done happened in his heart. And he told this man, "Whoa, wait a minute. Listen to us. Stop it. Don't you fear God?" Now, what do you think's happening here? I don't know all that's happening, but I know that I know there's one thing going on in this man's heart. This man knows. I want you to listen now. Death is near. Death is near. As a matter of fact, I'm not so sure that he didn't feel hell on his feet. It wouldn't be too long, this man making the crossing. Now, we got some folks that'll stand up, you know, and bow their chest out and talk about the Bible ain't this and the Bible ain't that and God's not this and God's not this and church is a waste and the preachers are after money and the Bible's a farce. But you let them knock on the door of death, my friend, and things begin to change a little bit. You listening? Things will change a little bit. When a man can feel the heat of hell's flame at his feet, I mean, things will change a little bit then. It's easy to stand up when you're full of vigor and youth and you're full of pride in yourself and talk about this and that, say what you are and what you will do and won't do and what God won't cause you to do and what the church or the preacher, the Bible's not going to help you to do. But now you hear me. When you stare the door of death, when you look at the gates of hell, things will begin to change then, brother. Amen. And I believe that's what's happening in this man's life. I do. He said, "Now, wait a minute." He said, "Dost thou not fear God? We're getting ready to meet our Maker." You hear it? You hear it? Can you hear it in his voice? "Don't you fear God? We're getting ready to meet our Maker here." And then look what he said after this. "Seeing thou art in the same condemnation." Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are mocking this man? You're dying the same death he is. That's what he's saying. Who do you think you are? He was dying the same death of the man he was mocking, but what he didn't realize that this man right here began to see is he wasn't dying for the same reason. So I want you to understand this. Die the same death, but not for the same cause. And he realized it. Watch this repentance. There's three things I want you to see in what this man says here. Please don't miss it. God changed this man's heart. Oh, I remember when God changed my heart in these three areas. Oh, what a glad day. Happy day, happy day.
Amen.
When God changed my heart about myself, about sin, and about my Savior. It happened in this man's heart. Look at it with me. Look at verse 41. For we indeed justly, we're getting what we deserve. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. Did you get that? It's not Barabbas' fault. Barabbas drug me in it. Get me out of this. It's not the other thief's fault. If I would have never listened to you, I wouldn't have been up here on this cross. Right? It's not my mom's fault. It's not my brother's fault. It's not my sister's fault. We're getting the just deeds of our reward. We sin, now we got to pay. Until we come to the place as an individual, as a country, as a world, that we understand that it's not anyone else's fault for my sin. I sin because I choose to sin. I sinned as much yesterday as I chose to sin. Somebody say amen with me now, church. Hear me now. We sin as much as we choose to sin. We don't like to say it that way because it makes us look bad. And we look bad because we are bad. Amen. You say, well, you're going to ruin my self-esteem. Not trying to ruin your self-esteem. Trying to help you to see your worth in Jesus. Amen. Though you're bad, God still loves you. Though you're bad, Jesus will still save you. But until you realize without Christ, you're nothing. And without Jesus, you can do nothing. You've got to see yourself as this man saw himself. And he said, we are getting what we have deserved, what we have earned. We brought this on ourselves. Now, you'll never go to heaven until you admit that. You go through life like this snowflake, woke council culture. Now, listen to me. Always someone else's fault. No, it's not. If you done wrong, you made a conscious decision to do wrong. Right? Amen. Say, well, maybe no man made me do it, but preacher, the devil made me do it. When I was a boy, there was a comedian named Flip Wilson. How many of you remember old Flip? Boy, Flip could make you laugh now. He could. But you know, there's something old Flip used to do that's just not so. Flip was the first person I ever heard say, the devil made me do it. He did. I don't know that he started that, but I remember old Flip would say that about once a program. The devil made me do it. The devil's never made you do anything. The devil may have suggested you do it, but you did it because you chose to do it.
Right.
You see what this man's doing? Please don't miss this now. Please don't miss this. I am so thankful. I sit at my desk last night and I said, God, thank you. Thank you. I quit blaming my dad. I quit blaming my mother. I quit blaming my environment, my surroundings, my friends. I quit blaming my dealers. And I just quit blaming and I said, it's me, Lord. God, it's me. I need you to do something in my life. I need you to change my heart. It's me, Lord. And that's exactly what this man, in verse number 41, he said, for we indeed justly, we're getting what we deserve because we made poor choices, but we made choices nonetheless, and now we're having to reap the consequences of our choices. He said, we receive the due reward of our deeds. So he saw himself differently. Then he saw his sin differently. Right? He said, we made some poor choices. We did it. We sinned. You know, I got to thinking about this. It's hard to find sinners in America anymore. You know why? Nothing sin anymore. Right, church? Come on. Look next to the person to you. If they're about to go to sleep, tell them, say, I'm getting ready to sin. Amen. I'm serious. You get out and you start talking to people, nothing's sin anymore. I mean, I'm talking about people committing adultery, running around on their spouse, and they say, well, you know, it just wasn't working out, so I had to step out. And I'm going to tell you what you've done. You entered into a wrong relationship, and God's going to judge you for that.
Amen. Amen.
God still judges adultery.
Sure.
Amen. God still judges drunkenness.
Right.
That's right. He does. Now, please hear me. God still judges lying. You say, well, now preacher, you wouldn't catch me with a bit of alcohol in my home. What about that lying tongue? See, God still calls lying, lying. We try to smooth over and say, well, you know, maybe I exaggerated. Yeah, that's called a lie. We have all kinds of nice, rosy words for sin, but God still calls it sin, brethren. Please hear me. Our country is on a jet ski down a slippery slope to hell, while we at the church are saying that there's nothing wrong anymore, that it's just every man do what is right in his own eyes. But God still says that sin is sin.
Amen.
And until we identify it as sin, we'll never confess it as sin and get it right with God. I'm so thankful that this man right here, I'm so thankful that God revealed it to him. The Spirit of God was working in his heart. Do you see what's happening in this man's life? He went to cursing Jesus and blaspheming the name of Christ and casting the same in his teeth to saying, you know what? It's me. It's not about him. It's me. I've sinned. Right? You see what God did in his heart there? He went from looking at Jesus and saying, hey, why don't you do this and why don't you do that? And I believe the Spirit of God said, why don't you do some things? Why don't you see yourself as a sinner? Why don't you come face to face with that wrong you've done? Those people that you took their money when you robbed them. Those people that you brought bodily harm when you incited violence on them. Why don't you fess up for some things you've done? Amen. So that's what we need to get to right there. But we'd rather sit back and criticize and call names and point fingers. But when God begins to do surgery in our heart, then God can work in our lives. The Bible says that this man began to go through what the Bible calls repentance. What a beautiful word. God done changed this man's mind on some things. No longer is he pointing and saying it's his fault. Why don't you do something? He's looking at himself and he's saying, you know, I'm wrong. I'm getting what I deserve. I've done wrong and I'm paying the price for it. And I'm getting, look at verse 41, I'm getting the due reward of my deeds. Wow. I'm glad God showed me that one day.
Amen.
Aren't you glad that God showed you the wrong that you were involved in?
Yeah.
Can I encourage you to do something this morning? Please listen to me. There's none of us perfect. None of us. But if there's something in your life that shouldn't be, could I encourage you to call it what it is, confess it to God, and say, God, please forgive me and help me to overcome this. I want to live the victorious Christian life. I do not want to be bound by this sin.
Amen.
Now, God loves you and God will help you. He will. But until you come to Him in honesty and in confession like this man, you're not going to get the help from the Lord that you need. Let's move on now as we bring this to a close. He changed his mind about himself. We indeed justly. His sin, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds, sinful deeds. But he also changed his mind in repentance about the Savior. Look what he said. But this man hath done nothing amiss. This man's done nothing. Somehow the Spirit of God showed him. Could it have been when he seen the way Jesus was handling the whole situation? I don't know. Maybe he heard him, as I said. Maybe he heard him preach before. Maybe he was in the crowd when he taught. I don't know. I do know this. He was there when he was being crucified, and he heard them screaming at him and cursing at him and beating him and whipping him. You got to remember, when Jesus was hanging in the middle, he looked different than these other two. No man had ever received the beating and the brutality that Jesus received. The Bible says that you couldn't even tell he was a human form. Read Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 6. Isaiah chapter 52, verse number 12 and 13. The Bible says that his visage was so marred more than any man, and his body more than the sons of man. They ripped the beard from his face. They beat him until there was nothing but a clunk of emaciated flesh. And as he hung there gasping for his last breaths, the scripture says in verse number 34, Jesus fulfilled prophecy when Isaiah said that he made intercession for the transgressors. And he said this in verse number 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There's just something in me that tells me that had I been there and witnessed what Jesus was encountering and what he was going through, and I was hanging beside him, and I heard him make this plea for his executioners, I just can't help believe it didn't have a profound impact. And it changed one of their minds. And he said, wow. Wow. You know? And then he watched the way that he reacted. And the Spirit of God was working in his heart. And he said this. Look what he said now. He said, this man had done nothing amiss. You know what he did right after that? He's ready. You know his first words after that? You see what happened here? I see myself. I see my sin. I see the Savior as I should see them now. Look at the first words out of his mouth. The Bible says in verse number 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord. Isn't that something? You see how the Spirit of God brought him to that place? That is something to me. It just takes me back. You say, preacher, I don't understand. Well, listen, if you've been to Jesus, if you've been to Calvary, you'll understand. Oh, I remember wrestling hard against self and sin. The voices of opposition and of the devil and telling me, you can't do it. You can't live that life. You better back out while you can, boy. You're going to make a fool of yourself. Don't you call them people. Right? Remember? Remember how the devil fought you? We just had a couple get saved yesterday, some of these young people. I'm telling you right now, the devil will fight you, won't he? He'll say, don't do it, don't do it. Wait. Wait. Learn some more about it before you make this step. Huh? Put it off. Not now. Oh, but when the Spirit of God showed this man his sin and his self and his Savior, he said, Lord, Lord, I'm convinced. Lord, that's a word of convincement. Lord, I'm convinced. Right? Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What a statement. This man is beaten to a pulp, hanging on a cross. And he turns to him and said, hey, when you set up your kingdom, huh? Only the Spirit of God can do that, brethren. Please hear me this morning. The supernatural is at work here. Can I tell you that every person that's been saved in the grace of God, the supernatural went to work in your life. Don't you ever forget that. Jesus passed by your way. God swung low over you. Amen. To give you an opportunity to get into this place called heaven and to get this pardon from God and to get purpose in this life. God did that for you. Don't you ever forget that. God help me never to forget that. This man said, Lord, remember me. Kind of reminds me of that man that I was sharing with the Boggs family yesterday, that man who went down to the temple, that Pharisee, and he smote himself. He couldn't even look up into heaven, and he smote himself on the chest, and he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see what's happening here? God done broke him down, brethren. God done broke him down. And he sees himself is helpless and hopeless without the God of heaven. I pray to God if there's someone here today that would say, oh, preacher, I'm going to get to heaven, but I'm going to get there on my own way. No, you're not either. You'll go God's way or you won't go at all. Now, please listen to me. It's serious business. On the other side, meanwhile, there's a stone-faced criminal on the other side who says, not me. You ain't breaking me down. He was just as close, as far as I can tell now, He was just as close to Jesus as the penitent thief, the one who repented. Just as close. Heard and saw the same thing. It's amazing to me how the same sun that melts the snow can harden the clay. And yet it happened this day. It may be happening today. I don't know. So here we've seen this story. It happened some 2,000 years ago. It's a piece of history. This took place in our world. Jesus, the Son of God, came and lived a perfect life, died a cruel death, and he was hanging on the cross. God said, here's your choice. You gonna trust me? One said yes and one said no. It's a choice. The Spirit of God would have worked in both of their lives, but only one permitted. Is the Spirit of God working in your life this morning? Is the Spirit of God working in you? Has God pointed out sin in your life or error? Or perhaps God's shown you this morning, I'm not saved. If you can't go to a time in your life where you were broke down like this man right here, you're right. You're not saved. Because if you've never come to your senses about your sin, yourself, and the Savior, that's the only way you can be saved. You've got to realize you are a sinner. You are a sinner. You have sinned against the Holy God. Not because the preacher said so. Not because the church said so. But because God said so. You've sinned. And until you admit it and confess it, then you're not ready for God to forgive it. Would you do that today? Say, well, what happened, preacher? Well, the Bible says in verse number 43, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee. By the way, I really like this. I do. I have to point this out because there may be somebody here, and I don't know, maybe someone watching by live stream. Please don't miss this. Look, if you would, in verse number. I just seen this last night. Now, I've read this account dozens, if not scores, maybe hundreds of times. In verse number 41, he says, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. He's speaking for him and someone else. But now when it comes to forgiveness, watch what he says in verse number 42. Lord, remember us. Mm-mm. No. He said, we've both sinned. But when it comes to confession of sin, you can't do that for someone else. Let that be an eternal lesson to you. You cannot go to heaven on someone else's skirt tail. This is a personal decision for everyone. You have to make this decision. So, well, we're going as a family. Hope that you do, but it's going to be one at a time. Amen. Lord, remember me. It's got to be personal. You see what he's saying? Lord, remember me. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That took great faith. To be hanging on a cross beside a man and know this man's going to set up a kingdom. And when you do, remember me. Amen. Jesus said unto him, he said, verily, amen, you're going to get what you asked for. Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That's good. With me. Say, preacher, what's heaven going to be like for you? We were talking about a little bit in Sunday school. Street of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl, Moses, Paul, the saints of God, my grandmother, my loved ones that were saved. But Jesus will outshine them all. Amen. I'm going to see my Savior. Today thou shalt be, watch this now, with me. See, that's what salvation is. It is a relationship. With me, it's in a person before a place, in paradise. Don't get that mixed up. Some people get so involved about wanting to go to heaven, they forget that you have to invest in a person to get there. With me, that's the person. In paradise, that's the place. You got to go through the person to get to the place. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm thankful that Jesus will save anyone at any time from anything. But I wonder maybe if there's someone here that's never been saved. I don't know. I'm going to ask the pianist to come. Would you stand to your feet with me? I see in this story three simple things. I see repentance. You cannot read that story and tell that this man had a change of heart, a change of mind, didn't he? I mean, God changed this man's heart. God changed his mind. Repentance. Then I see a request. Lord, remember me. See, you can see, you can have change, you can see sin for what it is, you can see yourself for what it is, you can see Jesus, the Savior, for who he is, but until you bring yourself to the place of where you request, Lord, be merciful to me. Till you identify with that, till you apply. Say, well, I know the blood was shed of the first swing of the flock. Yeah, but if that blood was not applied to the door lintel, death angel didn't pass over. Has to be applied, right? It's a personal decision. So there was a repentance, a request, and then finally redemption. Verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Isn't it wonderful to be saved, folks? Isn't it? And we have God alone to thank for it. If I don't learn anything else from this, please don't miss this. I learned that you can't get baptized and go to heaven. I learned that you can't do good works and go to heaven. He done that much for Jesus. Right? Is that right, folks? You be the jury. Is that right? He done that much. He didn't say, Lord, remember me. And Jesus said, well, I'll tell you what. Now, if you can get out of this situation and you can do some good deeds for the next 2 years, we'll talk about it. Nope. Can't do good works. Can't be baptized. You can't go through the church. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen. Thank God for his amazing grace.
Amen.
Would you bow your head with me?